Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
I'm your host for today's show, and I'm calling you live. Okay. Hello. Not sure what happened there. Sorry, we're having a few technical problems at the moment. So today I'm live on my show, Soar with Kate. I'm calling from Coach on Fire Radio on Blog Talk Radio, and today my I'm not quite sure what's happening. So I'm having a bit of a problem with technical problem at the moment. The my microphone doesn't seem to want to work. And I'm getting a repeated message on everything I'm doing, so I'm not quite sure what's happening, but we'll carry on anyway. Today on my today's show, I've got Donna Virgilio, who's calling in live for goddess readings, and we're talking about winter solstice. Oh, I see what's happening now. It's okay. Right, sorry. Apologies for that. Okay, so today's show, we are talking to Donna Virgilio about winter solstice, and she's going to be live on air doing goddess reading. So I would like, it's very early in the morning for Donna, so please be patient with us. And I'm just going to get Donna online now, and we can have a great chat. Hi, Donna, are you there?
Hi,
Donna.
I am. Thank you, Kate. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you so much for coming on. Sorry about the technical glitches there. I seem to have two windows open on my computer, and one was playing and the other was talking.
No problem at all.
So how are you today? Is it a bit early for you today? Are you okay?
I am. Thank you. It is early. It's 6 a.m. where I am in the United States, but I'm very glad to be with you today.
Excellent. So today's show we wanted to do goddess readings, in particular to do with the winter solstice and the amazing energies surrounding it. So do you have anything you'd like to say about this festival? Is it, what's your favorite part of the winter solstice?
Oh. You know, I'm holding out for snow. I don't know if you have snow where you are, but I'm holding out for the snow, and it hasn't snowed where I am yet, but I love the peacefulness of the season. And when the moment when the snow comes and it lays its first blanket, you know, that first thin layer across the land, there's a peacefulness that's present, and people become very much aware of, okay, it's now arrived. We're here. And people begin to calm. I think in my community anyways, people calm down. They slow down. They start to spend more time with family, with friends. They're home more And they're shopping too, of course, for Christmas, which is beautiful too. But it's a special time, I think, for family and community and friends to come together. So I think that's my favorite part. And of course, the sparkling lights, the Christmas trees, all of the different religions have, you know, something that they're celebrating this time of the year. And mm-hmm. I just think that's very beautiful, because now we've become more guided by spirit, and we begin to recognize and acknowledge who we are as spirit and our connection to the divine, to the goddess, to whatever, you know, religion and spiritual path you're on. You have something special that you connect with that's associated to the divine. And so that's what I love about the season. It's one of my favorites for sure, next to Samhain and Halloween. I think Samhain and Halloween, and of course the Yule, winter solstice, and Christmas and Hanukkah. Those are all my, you know, my two favorite holidays of the year.
That's lovely. Mm-hmm. We don't tend to get very much snow in the UK, unfortunately. Not this time of year. We tend, if we are going to get it, we usually get it after Christmas. Well, before Christmas. I think I read somewhere recently that the last time we had a white Christmas was almost 20 years ago. So,
kidding.
Yeah, it's very, very rare we get a white Christmas. I mean, even today, it's what's called mizzle, which is a cross between drizzle and mist, and here in Cornwall. And it's we call it mizzle locally. And it's very, very damp outside, but it's actually very mild. It's 15 degrees Celsius, which is, for this time of year, it's very mild. It's almost kind of autumn or spring temperatures. So we're very mild down here at the moment. Yeah, which is nice.
That doesn't
feel
bad at all.
Yeah, it's a nice temperature.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no snow, unfortunately. And I doubt if we'll get much. I mean, we may get some in January. Sometimes we get January for every time. But then when we do get it, UK tends to come to a standstill. Because we're so unused to getting it, everyone tends to panic when we actually do get snow. So we have a few snowflakes. Suddenly all the schools shut, all the buses grind to a halt, the trains stop. I actually do find it funny this time of year if it has been snowing up country, because I'm right down in the south, so we're kind of the warmest area of the UK, so it's why we don't really get much snow here. Whereas up in the north, and Scotland and northern England, they tend to get a lot more snow than we do. So it's quite funny when we've got like a long distance train coming into Cornwall, and sometimes it will have snow still on its wheels. Especially when mm-hmm. I used to live in Exeter, coming down from Bristol, and there'll still be some snow on the train, but then as soon as it hits the southwest, it just melts. It doesn't get any at all. But it's really. But
I love
love
that, because one of the things that you and I were talking about before is I love to know. I mean, you know, I love rituals and traditions, and mm-hmm. I love to know what it's like for other people at the winter solstice. What are they doing, and how are they celebrating?
Yeah.
Do they get snow? Is it sunny? You know,
we haven't had much sun yet. We don't have much sun. I think we've had wet every day for about the past month. It's starting to get it. Yeah, I get a bit fed up with the rain now. But then living in the UK, I should be used to the rain. We tend to have a lot more than most countries, unfortunately. But one thing that does happen though, when it does get cold enough, the moors will get snow at the top of the peaks and the moors. And I'm quite close to Dartmoor, which is in Devon. I'm in Cornwall, so I'm right on the border. And I can see Dartmoor from if I actually stand in my garden, I can see the peaks of Dartmoor from my garden. And sometimes it will actually have snow on the peak. So not very much, literally like a dusting. Like somebody sprinkled icing sugar over a cake, that kind of effect, which is still beautiful. So my husband sort of races up to Dartmoor because he's a photographer, and he races up to Dartmoor to try and get a photograph of Dartmoor in the snow. And those tend to be some of his best-selling work, because it's so unusual, so rare that we actually get snow down here, that people would like to see the sort of Christmassy, wintry scenes down here. It's very strange how the higher ground in Cornwall will get the snow, like the moors. But then I'm in the kind of, well, I suppose it's known as the suburbs, really. I'm in a little town right on the water's edge. And we tend to, I can't remember, I think the last time we actually had snow properly, probably was when I was a child. And we used to get it every year when I was a child. So I remember going sledding down the hill next to where I live. It was only literally about sort of a quarter mile up the road, actually, where I grew up. And I remember sort of going out and my friend having a sled and going to the little road just around the corner from us, which had a nice little hill, and her father dragging us up the hill on the sled, and we were going down again. But that was great fun. But yeah, that was when I was a child. I was about probably 9 or 10 years old, and I don't really remember having a big... I mean, since my children have been born, we've had a light dusting in the garden a couple of times, but not enough. I think we managed to build a snowman, and it was about 6 inches tall in the garden. And that was the biggest snowman we managed to build. And that was probably about six, 7 years ago. My daughter was only a toddler. In January last year, we went up to the moors, and it was probably about a couple of inches deep, and we built a snow family up on the moors, and that was really good fun. And my daughters love it because they just don't see snow very, very often. So when it comes, we just go out and go, quick. It was like the last couple of days, go for it.
My winter wish for you this season is that you get a little snow. I hope you get a little to enjoy this year.
Yeah, that'll be really lovely. Yeah, and we've got a new puppy at the moment, so it'll be quite funny to see his reaction to snow as well. My cat isn't too impressed. she kind of goes after me, I'm not sure what this is. What am I supposed to do with it? And she kind of sort of retreats very quickly because it's too cold for her. But yeah, it would be brilliant to have a bit of snow, but make sure we've got all the shopping done first for Christmas, and then you can sell Boxing Day, and I'll be quite happy with that. Well, Christmas Day, that'd be good. that'd be fun. But yeah, I do love the peacefulness when it's actually snowing, and it is like a calm comes across the world when it's snowing. Yeah. It is beautiful, and the energy is just so beautiful when you just obviously watching. I mean, very often I will stand outside when it's snowing because it's quite a strange sort of calmness that just comes across, and I really, I do miss that actually. My childhood, it used to snow every year, but say in the last 20 years, it hasn't. It's very rare to snow now. It's just getting too warm for us, unfortunately. I do love it when that happens, and then being able to see the garden with no footprints in it, and just and not wanting to spoil it, but then wanting to go out and play as well at the same time. It's very difficult. Waking up in the morning and finding it snowed overnight, that was always lovely as a child. Or being at school was quite fun, because you have a rule that as soon as the snow starts settling, we're all allowed to go home. so we were going to settle so we could go home early. but that was I was a teenager, so I don't remember that. But there's something very magical about when it snows and when it settles on the ground, and you do feel that winter's finally come when it snows. I think when we don't get snow, it kind of doesn't really feel like winter. It just feels like an extended autumn, I suppose.
It rains so much where I live, so the snow is really is very welcome when it finally arrives. And it doesn't come every year, and sometimes it doesn't stick where I live. But, across the United States, we do get snow in many states, and the southern states not so much. The northern states get more snow. But it slows people down just enough that it gives them a chance to not feel the pressure of the to-do to get things done, that kind of thing. It gives people a break. And it's kind of like you said, when you're a kid at school and you're hoping it snows because then you'll get that break to just, do nothing. Yeah. And I think that we miss that as human beings, those opportunities to do nothing. There's a lot of push and go and pressure to keep up and, not be lazy, get more done, more, better, and it gives you permission, I think, to just, it's like nature giving you permission to just slow down and be present in the moment and just look around at the beauty of something that sometimes is so rare. But the people, you know, who get lots of snow, they're like, oh, we just want to go to the Bahamas, right? We just want to go to California. We don't want this. But, you know, it's different for everyone, I'm sure.
Yes, exactly. But it is lovely to have that moment, especially this time of year when it's so busy and everyone's trying desperately to get everything done before Christmas. And you tend to lose sight of the whole meaning of this time of year and Christmas and the winter solstice and just taking that time to look back on the year that's gone and to enjoy that time you've got your family. And I know, obviously, this time of year, sometimes spending that long with your family isn't always a great thing, but you're trying to learn patience as well. Patience is a very strong virtue to have at this time of the year when it comes to family. It's a great reminder just to be able to just stop and take a moment and to just look around you. And I say, as you said, you mentioned the twinkly lights. That's my favourite part as well. I love looking at all the Christmas lights in towns, and then pushing the tree up and having the beautiful lights on the tree. Around here, some people are putting their trees up a lot earlier. Some people have actually been putting their lights up on their houses a lot earlier than in previous years. And we noticed actually the first light that went up on somebody's house, I think, was the end of October. We thought, my goodness,
really?
That's a bit early. Yeah. So we thought, it's one thing putting it up in November, which is fine. But end of October, we thought, really? And it was full-on Christmas lights. It wasn't just a few little lights in the window. It was full-on Father Christmas on the roof and reindeer in the garden kind of thing. And my husband saw it, and he thought, no, that's just too much. Can we get past Guy Fawkes night first before he starts thinking about Christmas? Because obviously we have Guy Fawkes here on the 5th of November when we have the beautiful firework display. And so I can't really think of Christmas until after that has passed. So going up the end of October was a bit strange. But obviously they just love Christmas so much they had to get up as soon as possible, which is fine, it's the same problem. It was quite funny to see it go up that early.
That is funny. I was just talking to someone the other day, though, and I was saying, because a lot of people do say, hey, I don't want the stores to have decorations and Christmas advertising until after Thanksgiving. And I said, you know, but I need more time than that.
Yeah.
Because between, we have Thanksgiving here, right here around the 25th, 26th of November. And so from that time to the 25th, there's not a lot of time for me to decorate and do the shopping and work and all the responsibilities that we have today. It just seems like I need a little more time every single year. So, but that makes me giggle that they started so early.
I know, actually,
by the time I'm done with Samhain and Halloween, right, I am so tired that I barely have energy to put up any lights for Christmas in Yule. But it's still a lot of fun, and I really enjoy celebrating Christmas and Yule and the winter solstice. And I celebrate Hanukkah too a little bit, just because I really love to celebrate all of the holidays. Like, give me a reason to celebrate, and human being, give me a reason to celebrate, you know, miracles and love and life. And, you know, it's too bad that we don't get to celebrate it every day, you know.
Yeah,
there's a lot to do in the world, of course, but I am so grateful for all these traditions because it gives me a chance to be in the moment. For even if it's just for a few minutes to light that candle or to turn on the Christmas tree and just gaze at the beautiful lights and to think about my life and what's important to me in that moment. So I just I love them all. And I actually keep one Christmas tree up. I know you're going to think this is a little bit crazy, but I keep one Christmas tree up year round in my house. So and it's pink, right? Because I'm into everything that's girly and sparkly and what have you. But I have a Christmas tree, usually in my living room, but this year I've moved it up into the second floor into one of the bedrooms. And just because we spend more time on the second floor, and the Christmas tree brings in so much beauty and life and into our home. It's that fresh scent of the pine tree. It's just very lovely. So I enjoy celebrating as much as possible the happiness of life, because it takes me about 2 seconds to go on the internet and find something sad or something.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. where life isn't working somewhere in the world, if not in my neighborhood, in someone else's. And so it gives me a chance to just, you know, return to what brings me joy and happiness.
It's interesting what you said about having the tree up all year round, because I get so sad when we take our tree down. I've known some of my friends who put their tree up on the 1st of December, and then by Boxing Day, they're taking it down. And I'm thinking, but it's 12 days of Christmas. You sleep for 12 days. And even my husband and I had arguments last week about when we should take the tree down. Because he said, if I had my way, I'd just take it down New Year's Eve. He went, no, it's not the 12th day, it's the 5th of January. But I usually win. I usually get up for the whole 12 days. But even then, I do find it sad taking the tree down. We always have a real tree every year, because I just love the smell of a real tree. And it's just more Christmassy me having a real tree. I mean, my mum has an artificial one, and it's still very pretty, but I think nothing really beats a real Christmas tree. And then we go and take it to the recycling, and it gets turned into compost in the new year. So I'm actually wasting the many resources as such, because it gets used again and put back into the earth, which is lovely. I do find it really sad. And we kind of have this one tradition in the UK, but and I don't know if it's just the UK or whether it's the rest of the world as well. But we find it's if you don't take your tree down by the 12th night, it's bad luck. It's because you have to take it down by the 12th night, or it's bad luck if you keep it up any longer than that. But it's quite funny, because I remember one year, it was a sad year in some ways for Christmas. My grandmother died a couple of months before Christmas, and my grandfather was so grief stricken that he just couldn't cope with all the family coming around at Christmas time. So my parents went up. We went up briefly on Christmas Day, but my parents went up again. And I remember it being the 5th night, and my son, sisters and I were all watching TV. And it got to about 10 to midnight, and we suddenly realised, oh, the tree is still in the house. We were frantically trying to take all the decorations off. And we were literally carrying it out of the house about midnight. And then my parents arrived back home, and they were laughing. It's all right, nothing's going to happen. Okay, quick, get out of the door by midnight. But I remember doing that as a teenager and having panic, and then, oh no, we can't have it after midnight. It was really funny. So, but then since then, it's relaxed. We're relaxed all now. And then actually, one year when I had my daughter, my first daughter, I think the Christmas cards stayed up probably until about Easter. I just never got around to taking them down, because I had so many wonderful cards arrived that year, obviously wishing me well for having my new baby as well. But it was so pretty on my wall, I didn't want to take it down, so I just kept them up. And it's amazing how many people came to the house and did not notice. I had a wall for Christmas cards right there above the tree, and they didn't notice. They went, oh, and they didn't even point at the back, going, oh, yes, they are Christmas cards. Why are they still up? Because they're pretty and I like them. So, yeah. So I still sometimes try and keep the decorations up. And now I have my own office now, so I've got, I tend to put all the decorations up in my office as well. And I've got a tiny Christmas tree ornament for the tree, which is very beautiful. It's a little glass Christmas tree. And it's very, very delicate, the way the glass has been blown, and it's like about 2 or 3 inches tall. Very, very delicate branches on it. It's like with 3D ornaments. There's a tiny baubles, and it's so pretty that I just do not want to put it in the Christmas tree box. I tend to have it on top of my speakers and my hi-fi all year round because it is so pretty. So I tend to keep that one up anyway.
Well, you know, yeah. That's so funny because one year I actually have a hard time getting my decorations down, period, throughout, you know, after Christmas. I do leave cards up. I forget about them. They're on the fireplace, and I've got, you know, decorations all around the house that perhaps some of them may never come down the whole year. But one year, that would explain why I had bad luck that one year when I didn't take my tree.
It may just be UK one.
Until like February. Maybe the rule only applies in the UK, which would be good.
Maybe it does, yeah. I would just keep it here. I don't want to spread bad luck anywhere else.
I know. Oh, my goodness. But I think my favorite part is the tree. I mean, I think it really is just bringing that live tree into my home and just decorating it with my family and seeing those beautiful lights and then eventually more presents as we purchase them get wrapped up and put underneath the Christmas tree. And it's fun to just see all those special little presents, those little gifts, you know, just underneath this beautiful sparkling tree. It's the only time of the year that you see anything like that.
Yeah.
So it makes it very special, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
we tend to not put our presents under the tree until Christmas Eve when the children are gone to bed, because it's because either the cat will open the presents or this year the puppy will probably give it a go, but we can't trust the children yet to not open them so I'm usually either frantically still wrapping up on Christmas Eve after they've gone to bed, this week I'm actually going to try and get all the wrappings done on Friday while they're at school. It's the last day at school this Friday when they finish for the holidays. I think they have two weeks off they have for Christmas. They go back on the 5th of January, so just over 2 weeks. So Sunday's all thinking, I'm like, tomorrow I've got to go and do the rest of shopping, and then Friday I'm home all day, so just wrapping presents all day long. I'm determined not to be up until 3 in the morning to sleep again like I usually am. So we wait till the children go to bed, and then we put all the presents onto the tree, and then we try and keep the pets away from the presents, which is always fun because the cat loves the baubles. So she'll just bounce all the baubles down. They don't stay on the tree very long. And then there's the stockings. What we used to do with stockings is that we used to hang them on the mantelpiece, and then obviously part of the Christmas would come overnight and fill them up, and then they'll be left by the mantelpiece. But a couple of years ago, my husband said, wouldn't it be a great idea if we just stockings to their beds? And then they could open their stockings in the morning, which would mean we'd get an extra hour's peace on Christmas morning before the mayhem ensues. And it worked really well. They actually had bunk beds, so we kind of pinned, or the third tank, I think it was, on their bunk beds. And then, sure enough, the next morning, they left us to sleep in till about 10 o'clock. It was amazing. And we actually got to sleep in on Christmas morning for the first time in ages, I think. So we tend to do that every year. I hang them up on the window, on the mantelpiece above the fireplace every year to get a picture, because it's what my parents used to do as well. And I mean, I'm the eldest of 9 children, so we used to have all 9 stockings hung up on the fireplace at Christmas, and it used to make such a cool photograph that I started doing it with my family as well. So we hang up, and myself and my husband, we also have a stocking as well, because we kind of rekindled that tradition when we first got together, because we thought, how sad is it that when you get to be a grown-up, you don't get a stocking anymore? Because our mum said, oh, you're too old for stocking now. And we're like, no, we're not. We started doing it for each other. So all 4 of our stockings get hung up on the mantelpiece. And then a few years ago, we bought one for the cat as well. And this year, I've got to get one for the puppy. So there'll be 6 stockings hanging up on the mantelpiece this year. And then... what we'll do is take a picture, and then we'll take them upstairs, and then put them on the children's beds, like tack them to the to their beds while they're asleep. But then it's always the fun thing of trying to wait until they're asleep. So, and then it takes so long to go to sleep because all the children get so excited on the Christmas Eve, especially as we use the app on the computer to track Santa, to see where Santa is or how far he's got across the world.
So, oh, yes. That's
yeah,
fun.
I can't what it's called though. I think NASA do one, like a satellite one, and it's it tracks how far Santa's got across the world. And so when he kind of gets close to like Germany, I'm thinking, right, bed, quick! That's before I get here. So quickly. Quick, he's in Europe, go! So yeah,
I love doing that too. And I'll get on Facebook and I'll say, oh, he's in Arizona, or he's in California, he's almost to my house,
exactly.
You know, and it's fun to do that. I absolutely love it. I think one of the most, the one Christmas was kind of a bummer for me is, you know how you said that you put the Christmas presents out the night before so the kids won't get into them? Well, now we leave them out because all my children are much older. But there was one year where I did that, you know, when my daughter was, my youngest was still quite young. We woke up the next morning and I was waiting for her and waiting for her and waiting for her. And, you know, I wanted her to wake up when she was ready. I was waiting. And then I went downstairs and what I saw, to my surprise, was all of her presents had been opened. She woke up. And she went to the tree, and she knew it was time, and she didn't think anything about that maybe mommy wanted to watch or take pictures, and she just opened everything all by herself. And then she got her presents, and then she went back to bed. And I cried and cried.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
It was
so,
so sad. Oh, yes. I'm over it now, but time, it was not funny. You know, it's like takes them 5 minutes to open the presents, but it takes weeks to get them under the tree. Yeah, exactly. No, it's totally fine. So it was sad, but you know, she had a great time.
She enjoyed herself.
She had a really wonderful time. Yeah, she did. She did.
My dad used to lock the door, the lounge door, to stop us from doing that, because he was guaranteed that one of us would have done that. So he used to lock the lounge door at night when he went to bed, so we can actually go and help ourselves in the middle of the night. But then we used to have a tradition in our house where, because there were so many children, we had to go in age turn into the lounge, but youngest one first. So I was always last, being the eldest. So I was thinking, well, I've got at least another 10 minutes in bed before I have to go down. So I used to make the most of it. Most of the time I started work by that point, so I'll be like working Christmas Eve, and then by the time I got home I was shattered, and then going to midnight mass at the church as well, and then coming home and just wanting to sleep in the next morning. So they are going, come on Katie, get up, and I'm thinking no, I've got another 5 minutes, you just carry on, because he's going one at a time. And then my mum used to put the gifts in piles, because we never really put the Christmas present under the tree so much when I was growing up, because with our family, it would have taken us probably till New Year's Eve to hand them all out otherwise, being with us nine of us plus our parents. So my mum used to put little piles around the room, so on the settee or on the floor or in front of the tree. I used to like sitting next to the tree to open my presents. That's my favourite spot. And then we used to have like a pile of presents with our stocking on top. But since meeting my husband and having our own children, we've taken on his tradition in his family, where they've had all the Christmas presents under the tree, and then they get handed out one at a time. So we all take turns to have presents, which is lovely. Except for one year, I think it took us until in the evening on Christmas Day before we actually got all the presents unwrapped, because we just had the children had so many that year that it just kind of took over. It's like, okay, we're getting a bit hungry now, and then the turkey was cooking at the same time, and trying to do it, so it just took ages. So but yeah, I mean, in some ways, I mean, when I was growing up, I always wanted to have presents under the tree. And then, even though that's lovely, I kind of, in some ways, I still kind of miss having my own pile with my stocking on top, as I had as a child.
Aww.
But you kind of get used to both. But what I used to do is, when I first started working, is that when I was able to, I was earning my own money and able to buy everyone else's presents, that I used to put my presents under the tree. And then, so all our siblings put presents for each other, we used to go under the tree. And then that used to be done after after the main meal. So we'd have all our presents from our parents first, and then after the main meal, Christmas meal, we'd then have presents for each other. So Easter kind of gets spread out quite a lot. But now I tend not to go home for Christmas Day. We tend to stay here. I tend to see my mum the weekend after Christmas instead, because there's so many nieces and nephews now. It kind of you can fill the house up very, very quickly. So we tend to take it in turns to go see my mum. Although she does get a bit overwhelmed with all six grandchildren and all partners, everything turned up all at once in a small house. It's quite funny. But
oh, that is totally hilarious. I love it.
it's a fun
story.
And games having eight siblings at Christmas.
Uh-huh. But,
So we've got just over 20 minutes left. Would you like to do some readings for this for people for the winter solstice?
I would love to do that.
I do have somebody online, but I say I'm not, we've got two people logged into the chat room. If you'd like to post a message in the chat room, if you'd like a reading from Donna, if you could put your name and a question you have, and then Donna can answer your questions.
Yes, I just need their first name. That's helpful.
Cool. So we've got two guests. Guest number 137 and guest 143, you just entered the chat room. If you please, could you type in your name and a question that you will have for Donna for a goddess reading? I'll give you a few minutes to do that. And then hopefully we can get some readings done. That'd be fantastic. So while we're waiting for them to add their names and questions in to the chat box, who's your favourite goddess that you like to connect with at this time of year, Donna?
There are so many, 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 and I think people don't realise, you know, how many goddesses there are. There are a few that we know about because of maybe Greek mythology or Roman mythology. But I have a hard time choosing because I work with so many different ones. But I think right now, for this year, last year it was Bafana, but this year, which is an Italian goddess who is very, I'll talk about her for a minute. Bafana is very much like what we perceive today as Santa Claus.
Okay.
And so she's a goddess that was famous for her broomstick and flying through the sky, taking presents to children. She would sort of fly into their homes and leave them presents. And so there's, you know, cute stories around that. So she has a little bit of story that's associated and that's been Christianized, that the three kings stopped by her home. And she was so busy cleaning with her broom, she didn't really have time to help them, but they were looking for the baby Jesus and how to find him. So there are cute little stories about that.
Lovely.
And they invited her to go, but she couldn't go. She was just very busy cleaning house. So she has this connection to the broom, and those are some more modern versions of her. But she's the crone, and she is someone who brings in the season of winter. But I think right now I'm really into the goddess Lucina,
because I haven't worked with her a lot until this year, and so this year she's like my favorite. And she's the goddess of light, and she's the goddess who ushers new souls into the world. She's the protector of mothers and their babies in childbirth. And so I really like her this time of the year because in her myth, she is the goddess who, like I said, is the goddess of light. And so, you know, the goddess gives birth to the king at this time of the year. She gives birth to the light. And so I've been working with her a little bit lately, and I've found her to be really touching because, you know, when we are looking at the shortest day of the year, the sunlight being the shortest on the winter solstice, and the goddess now gives birth to the light. And so then the light becomes longer each day, and the darkness becomes shorter, starting with the winter solstice until we get to the summer solstice. So I've been in this exploration with this goddess. And the only way to really get to know a goddess, by the way, is to learn a little bit about the myth, learn a little bit about the different versions of her stories, and to explore that in your own life. And one of the things that has occurred for me is I had a shift in my perception about the king. So with all of my attention lately being on the goddess, she actually ushered in some sort of wisdom for me that was associated with men and really honoring men too at this time of the year. And see, and I was, you know, got some personal, like maybe things I might not want to share, but personal insights into allowing men, this is what she was teaching me, but something about allowing men to follow their own path that they don't necessarily need to follow us. That was my little insight that I got this year. They don't need to follow our path necessarily, because a lot of times we want men to do what we want them to do. So
that's true.
I just thought, yeah, we just want them to do what we want them to do, but sometimes what we want them to do is not what they need to do. The
true.
Mythic
yeah.
man, the mythic man, the king, the Leo, if you will, the king of the forest, whatever, has their own path to follow, and it doesn't look necessarily like ours as women. So it's very important that they have their mysteries and they have their rites and rituals, and perhaps they're not going to be the same as ours. Now, we do come together with our similarities and we find common ground, but what I'm learning from this goddess, what she's illuminating for me, is a new view of spirituality for men. And I'm hopeful that they are finding that for themselves. I don't know. I can't speak for them. I know what's happening with women right now because I'm really involved with that. But it was really good to kind of give men some space. So it's a funny thing. It's not really related to Christmas per se, but it is something that this goddess taught me for winter, for spring, because it's something that I'm dealing with in my life. So working with any goddess, no matter what time of the year it is, you find one, you work with her, you learn her stories, like I said, you learn her myths, and then you just allow whatever to unfold, because there's always a connection between the goddess that you seek and what's going on in your life at this time. So that's, so she's my favorite. She's my favorite right now.
For the listeners, I'm on Donna's study program, the priestess main goddess course at the moment, and we were learning about Lucina recently, and I noticed that her day was the 13th of December. Is that correct?
Yes.
I was reading about that earlier, and that's actually my daughter's birthday. So
really?
I thought it was quite funny how it helps with childbirth. And I'm thinking, well, that's the day my daughter was born. Funny enough, I had a a bit of a problem with her being born, that she had to be born by C-section in the end because she got herself well and truly stuck. But I do remember when I was in labour with her, and I didn't know the goddess's names, but I was calling upon all the goddesses that I could think of for help getting this child out. And so I would imagine that she would have been one of the ones that would have helped me. So actually,
when
the daughter of Jade was born. But yeah, her birthday was last weekend. She's eight years old now. So I think she'll be quite impressed to discover that there's a goddess the day that she was born.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. And so that's the pagan version of her, but there is a Christianized form of the goddess Lucina, and it's Saint Lucy or Saint Lucia. And she is still celebrated to this day in some different countries, in Sicily, I believe, and in I think Sweden. If I'm not mistaken, Sweden, I believe, is the other country. It could be Switzerland. I've forgotten at the moment. But she is still today throughout the world. And she is still, seen as a protector of childbirth, of mothers, of children. So, what we have is the old tradition being absorbed by the new faiths. And they still keep some of the myth and the story and the beliefs about the goddess in the new faiths. And so she's still celebrated with a festival of lights, actually, where there's a procession of girls who lead the way with crowns of candles around their, the top of their head, or lights, whatever. And they lead the procession and they celebrate the saint on this day still. So it's very beautiful and is a beautiful parade of lights. And then there's banquets and feasting and just a wonderful ritual that has just been able to be maintained throughout time. It's very beautiful.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be really beautiful to watch as well. It's a beautiful session like that as well, especially this time of year.
Absolutely.
So there are two people in the chat room, but they haven't put down any questions at all. We do have one caller. If you're on the call and your number starts at 208 and you have phoned in for a reading with Donna, please could you just send your details in the chat box? If you could give me your first name and a question for Donna, if you would like to have a reading, then I will unmute you and get you live on the call to speak to Donna. So I'll give you a couple minutes to do that. And in the meantime, perhaps, Donna, would you like to give me a reading for today?
Oh, okay, sure, absolutely. What would you like me to focus on, sweetie? What's important to you?
I think I'd like to focus on my health and how that will hopefully improve, or what I can do to improve my health for the new year.
Okay. I'm just going to ask you a question because I do see something, and you and I don't recall that you and I have ever talked about your health, and I am not a doctor, but I'm taking a look at you, and I do see something that I don't know if it's somehow you've got some low energy. I don't mean like negative. I mean like low, like I'm low on energy.
Yes.
Is that something that's happening for you? Okay.
I feel
it's something that's been ongoing, and it's something that you really have to nurture and care for yourself. There is, and it looks like it's going to continue. It's not over like today, and I'm not going to give you a quick fix for this. This is something that is you're going to have to continue to work on and to maintain for a period of time. And I'm also seeing you a little bit tired with the kids too, not their fault at all, but I know you want to have your vitality and strength and energy for your young people because they have a lot. Is that what's happening with you?
It is. I've had a chronic health condition for over 20 years, and it causes
chronic fatigue. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's what? It's called what?
It causes chronic fatigue. It's called ME, and it's a cross between chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. So, yeah, the low energy is a big part of my life. It's learning to live with it, and it has been particularly tough this year in particular. And, yeah, I do have trouble with the kids because the kids have such high energy, which is fantastic because children mm-hmm, should do.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets a bit overwhelming for me. as it was with most mums, but for me more so with the illness.
Okay, perfect. So we know that it's been going on and I do see it continuing, and you probably know that it will too.
Yeah.
So what you've got to do is you've got to invite your family to bring you more support when you need it. And I'm seeing your husband, your partner or mate,
mm-hmm,
whoever,
yeah,
being a good source for getting you through those times where the energy feels low. But as the children get older, you can ask a little bit more of them. But I really see it as, it's something that as family, and this is what families do, no matter who the person is in the family, they come together and they help each other. And that's the kind of thinking that needs to be present that would actually make a difference for your family at this time, to really get in the world that as family, we come together and we help each other no matter what it is, because that's who you are. That's who you've been for your family. And there's an expectation that mom can and should and always be there and 100% on, but that in reality, that's not what happens. So it's really important that for your family, that they really understand the concept of family and helping family. And that will be the main thing that makes a difference. It will actually be an opportunity for your family to really get family in a new way. And they probably are already, but as they get older and it becomes clearer what's happening to mom and the experiences that mom's having, them being able to get into your world and understand the concept of family. And I think that might even be part of the lesson of your family is you're having this experience, and family gets to learn about what family is. It's almost like they sort of lined up with you to have the experience of this is how families care and love for each other. So, and then, of course, you already know the things that you need to do to take care of yourself. And the important piece of that is to continue to do that. Continue to do that and maintain your well-being. And then ask for, and it might be for you, the piece is to ask for support, ask for help. Okay? That's what I got for you around that.
Excellent. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
You're
That's
very
fantastic.
Welcome.
We have Michael on the line who would love a reading from you as well. I'm just going
to
unmute.
I would be glad to do a quick one. Yes.
So, hi, Michael. Are you there?
Hello, Kate.
Michael?
I am.
Hi.
Hello, Donna.
Hi.
I was just going to say, Donna, I'm in Boise, and it is snowing lightly here, so you are not too far away from me.
Oregon, I'm so lucky.
So it is very early here, too. Obviously, we're an hour later than you. And, Kate, let me say congratulations to you on a good show. And, Donna,
thank you
for being her guest. In case you don't know, Donna, I'm the founder of the Coach on Fire Radio Network.
Michael's
show is appearing on. So I just want to say congratulations to both of you. I enjoyed your Christmas traditions, and we can go for there. This is kind of way out of my legal beagle field. So why don't you guide me through what we're supposed to do here?
Okay, sure, Michael. I'm really glad to talk to you. I know you and I didn't get to talk before the show. So
no,
that's great.
Mean.
Yeah. Okay. So you can ask a question, or we can look at a particular area of life that's important to you and be kind of general about it, whatever works for you.
Okay. Let's see.
Is there any area of life that's important to you? It's working or not working as well as you'd like it to. It doesn't matter. Whatever is important.
Well, everything's working pretty well. I have started
Good.
a a relatively new, seemingly long-distance relationship. A woman that I had met through work, actually, that's some 10,000 miles away, where we just kind of knew immediately from the first phone call that something was going on, and she will be coming to the United States this late spring, early summer, and everything seems to be going very, very well with that. So what do you see in the romantic end of things? Why don't we end the show with that and go from there?
Okay, sure. Absolutely. So what I'm seeing you guys have a really great time. I'm also seeing this is a short stay with her, the relationship, and it's an important relationship. And it's one that what I would do is to really focus on having a fantastic time with her, like really with intention, just really to create the experiences that you're going to have with her because of the distance, time is, you know, going to be very short. When you're together, you know, it's not going to be a day-to-day experience. So what Spirit is showing me is like really set an intention of to create something special and to create value in your experience with each other. I don't see you dating other people while you're seeing her. I think this is a very exclusive relationship during this period of time. I'm not sure the length of time that it will last, but it does seem like it's not a lifetime commitment. It looks like it's one of those temporary stops. But I think you're going to have a very good time with her. I think that love is definitely going to be present. Let me just see if there's anything else they want to add to this. I know we're just about out of time. They're saying, but keep it simple with her and keep it fun. Just have a really good time. I know
great.
We've only
Thank
got a couple
Donna.
Minutes left, so I'll stop there.
Yeah. And we need to get your website in and all of that before Kate closes out the show. So thank you, Donna. I appreciate it. Congratulations, women. You've done a great job, and we'll see you later.
Thank you. So my website is donnavirgilio.com, and I've got free goddess horoscopes over there. Every single month I write them. They're goddess horoscopes. There are horoscopes that are interpreted through the eyes of the goddess. I do goddess and sacred site tours to different places around the world. One of them is England, of course. And I do psychic readings over there, and I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Kate.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for being a fantastic guest. I've really enjoyed chatting with you today. I can vouch for the goddess horoscopes are really lovely to go and read each month. And there's lots
Thank
of insight
you.
There, and I really enjoy just checking them out whenever I can.
I do offer goddess classes too that are available as recorded classes on my website, so donnavirgilio.com.
Yeah, and they're great. They're great too. And I've learned a lot through my course with Donna, where we are 7 months in, seven months in now, aren't we? And it's great learning about all the different goddesses and the different rituals and the different solstices and times of the year. It's been fantastic course so far, and it's really worth doing if you get a chance. So thank you ever so much, Donna, for joining me on today's show.
Thank you.
You've been a fantastic guest. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time on the 30th of December, and I wish you all a fantastic Christmas. And may you have a very merry time with your family. And a Merry Christmas to you too, Donna, as well. And
thank you, Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much. And we shall speak soon. Okay, have a great Christmas, everyone. Bye.
I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.